We're going to be in Ezra. If you go through the historical books, you know, the 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, and then 1st and 2nd Chronicles, that's when the people of Israel, north and south, just kept disobeying God, and they finally got carried away captive. And so Ezra and Nehemiah, those books come after 2nd Chronicles, after we've gone through the major historical books. And so it talks about the return of the people from bondage, especially in Babylon. Those guys that got carried off into Assyria, man, they kind of got diluted, and we hadn't found them yet. They're still wandering somewhere. But Ezra was one of the guys that really, really helped to get these Israelites back on track. After they got out of captivity, they came back to their homeland. They come back to build a temple, and then Nehemiah is helping them get the walls built back up. But here we find Ezra in chapter 7 and verse number 10. I'll just use this one verse. Ezra chapter 7 and verse number 10. For Ezra to do this great work he did for God, and who doesn't want to do a good work for God? Amen. Right? Who doesn't want to do something good for God? I mean, after all, he sent his son to die for us on the cross. Shouldn't we be? We can't pay him back, but we certainly ought to show we're thankful. And we can show him we're thankful by doing something great for him. And in chapter 7 of Ezra, verse number 10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment." Ezra had something already done for him. He had already taken measures to be a great blessing to God's people. They needed him, but he couldn't help them if he wasn't right with God and had his heart prepared. So it says Ezra had prepared his heart. Notice that. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. That's the Word of God. Have you got a Bible in your lap?
Yeah.
Boy, if we've got that, and we've got a heart prepared for it, we're well on our way. And then he said, not only just to look at the Bible, how many people just look at the Word of God or hear the Word of God, but never do anything with it? And he says, not only a prepared heart and looking at and seeking after the Word of God, but he had it in his heart to do it. He said, God, I want to know your Word, but it's not just enough to know it. I want to do something for you, Lord. And then it says he had a special purpose in mind, and to teach in Israel. He was going to take what he learned from the Word of God and give it to the people that he could help. Let's look at those four just briefly together. And I'm fired up because I've had fried chicken yesterday and I've had fried chicken today. So you know what fried chicken is for a preacher? It's like putting gasoline in your car. And so I'm fired up with fried chicken. It says, Ezra prepared his heart. That's the first thing we want to think about and dwell on, is that he had a heart that was prepared. If a person has a warm heart and it gets hotter, he's got a fervent heart, then he can do something beyond just being a mediocre, nominal Christian. Most Christianity in our nation is just lukewarm. You know that's true. It's lukewarm. And people are doing very little for the cause of Christ. But if that heart gets fired up, boy, you can do something then. Some Christians don't get their heart in tune with what's going on in life, and they just kind of meander through life, bouncing. You ever play a pinball machine? You know how that silver ball comes down from the top and it goes boing, 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 boing. A lot of Christians are that way. They're just going boing, boing from one thing to another because they're not in charge. They haven't put God first in their life. And they're just bouncing around and reacting instead of acting. We waste a lot of time reacting. And we need to have a heart that's fired up. I heard about the guy that He was a business executive. He'd been to a meeting at the hotel, and as the meeting was dismissed, he's picking up his bag and his books and his computer and everything, getting everything together, and he's getting ready to go out in the parking lot, and he's feeling in all of his pockets, giving himself a TSA shakedown for his car keys. He can't find those car keys anywhere. They're not in his pockets. They were not in his hotel room. He realizes, I must have left them in my car. And so he went out to the parking lot, and his wife had scolded him a lot of times for leaving, forgetting what he's doing, boing, boing, bouncing around, not keeping his mind on things, not having a heart that's focused. And she'd scolded him a lot of times for leaving his keys in the car. So he went out there, and sure enough, his car is gone. His heart sunk. Her theory was right. The parking lot was empty. Everybody else is gone. He can't even catch a ride now. And so immediately he had his cell phone. So he pulled his cell phone out and he called the police. Reported stolen car. And then he dreaded making that next call to tell his wife. And so he dialed his wife and he said, honey, I left my keys in the car and it's been stolen. And she was just silent. He said, I thought the call had been dropped. And finally, I heard her voice. She said, you dodo, I dropped you off at the hotel. He said, well, now I remember. He said, come and pick me up. She said, I will when I can convince this policeman I didn't steal this car. Hey, we get off track because we're not focused. And if a heart for Christ is in tune with God, boy, we can get something done. Notice the second thing, Ezra pursued the word. Hey, your heart can be right. We've got all kinds of liberal Christians. We all got all kinds of compromised Christians. We've got all kinds of cultish Christians. We got all kinds of Christians who mean well. And they're all lovey-dovey. You know, God's just love. But they don't even know what the gospel is. They don't know what separation from sin is. And so it takes the word of God to make that heart that's fired up to know what it's fired up about. Yep. And so Ezra pursued the word. Man, he got into it and he was ready to be able to use it in his own life and in the lives of others. And we're going to have some sessions this summer. I hope you memorize some of that stuff on those missionaries. There'll be a test next Wednesday night. Just kidding about the test. But we are going to learn some Bible. We might do a little bit of scripture memory. Oh, no, not that. We'll do it together as a group. You know what we're going to start tonight? We'll get to it after this message is over. We're going to do something. Some of you already know. There's 66 books in the Bible. Some of you know them in order. And when the preacher announces his text for the sermon, have you ever thumbed through it and said, now where was that? Is that New Testament or Old Testament? Is that the beginning of the Old Testament or the end of the Old Testament? Was that before the historical books or after the historical books? Wouldn't it be good if we just knew where all the books of the Bible was? Well, we're going to start out tonight. We're going to memorize first five books of the Bible, which is called the Pentateuch. The guys and ladies that's been in Faith Bible Institute already got this down pat, and some of the rest of us do too. But it would be good. I mean, we expect the kids in Master Club to memorize verses, but not us. Know the books of the Bible? Who, me? Yeah, it'll be good for us. We're going to do it together. We'll say it in unison. It'll be on the screen. We're going to say the first five books of the Bible. And if you already know them, this is going to be a breeze to you. You can sit back and snicker at the ones that don't know. No, we don't mock people, do we? So He was going to serve God because he got his heart right, right? He got his heart fired up. We need a passion. And the guys that's going to preach on Wednesday nights, I mean, you don't have to yell to show you got passion. Now, you may yell, but some guys preach very quietly, and that's all right too. But even if you preach quietly, you can have passion in your heart that shows that you love the Lord, you love the Word, and you love to communicate the Word, and for you to communicate it, it's got some power in it because you've got some passion about it. Yeah. Ezra pursued the word. And then thirdly, Ezra progressed personally. Look what it says again in our verse. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Guess what? Fired up heart that is channeled through the word of God causes. It'll cause some personal growth. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may, what? Grow thereby. And so when we get a heart that's fired up, it's in tune with the word of God, then we'll experience some growth. You may not even know you're growing at times. But if you look back maybe a year ago and see where you used to be and where you are now, what you used to do and what you're doing now, you might find out you've had some personal growth. And they say that pouring water through a sifter doesn't seem to retain much, but it makes that sifter clean. Hello? And you'll experience some personal growth. That's what happened to Ezra, man. Some things happened. I mean, if we don't put to work what we learn from the Word of God. Now, look here. This is where I think we're at in a lot of Christianity today. There are people who know the Word of God and could have a bachelor's degree, master's degree, or PhD in the Word of God, but they don't do anything. But using the Word of God in everyday life to develop some convictions, there's some sin that I need to clear out of my life. There's some places I don't need to go. There's some things I need to do, including in my life. And as we let the Word of God go to work, we're not just hearers only, but doers of the Word. And this is what helped Ezra to become a great servant of God. They say astronauts who stay in outer space too long would face diminished muscle mass because you're weightless, you just kind of float around. And so if they didn't exercise and do some, kind of exercise that restrains your muscles, and you have, what do you call that? Resistance training. And if those astronauts that were going to be in outer space for a long period of time, if they didn't have some resistance training by letting the Word of God challenge you, by going through some difficulties in life, I mean, some of the things you face in life, the Word of God will prepare you for it to get you through it. And while you're going through those things that you don't like, some of the things it's heartaches, some of the things it's just hard, some of the things that require change in your life, change in your attitude, your action, and your worldview, those are resistance things. But if you go through those things, it will strengthen your spiritual muscles so you don't atrophy spiritually. Does that make sense?
Yep.
That's what made Ezra a great servant of God. And then number four, Ezra pursued a godly purpose. A purposed heart focused on the Word of God brings about personal growth, then that endeavors to serve God in a tangible way. And together, listen to this, all of those things together gives you a fulfilled life. Do you ever feel like you've got no purpose in life? Have you ever felt that way? Maybe at some time or other. Everybody has to have a purpose. Do you ever know any old people that they retired, quit working, didn't play sports, they didn't do anything for fun? They just sat around on the porch, and maybe in the recliner, and didn't do anything when they got old? Nothing had purpose. And then they seemed like they died real soon. We need purpose in our life. I mean, you don't feel like you're living for anything if you don't have purpose in life. And if you don't feel like you've got a purpose, what's missing? Maybe it's the heart that needs to be fired up and channeled through the Word of God like it did for Ezra. And then that all of this together gave him a purpose. He taught those people of Israel, and he ended up being fulfilled. If you don't do anything, especially for the Lord, you'll feel like a worthless Christian. You never witness to anybody, never hand out a tract, never invite anybody to church, place no great emphasis on prayer, meditation, reading the Word, going to church. I would submit to you that if there were a lot of Christians in Searcy, Arkansas, who are Baptists, I submit to you that we wouldn't have any empty pews in this church tonight. But they don't seem to have a strong purpose. Ezra had that. And if you want a fulfilled life, listen, if you want a fulfilled life, get into the Word of God, get your heart fired up, and do something for God.
Amen.
And you'll have fulfillment, satisfaction. You won't feel empty. Let's pray together. Father, we sure do love you and thank you for giving us Ezra in the Old Testament. You said the Old Testament characters and stories and histories were given to us to be our examples. And Lord, help us to use Ezra as an example on how to have a fulfilled life and not only being fulfilled in ourselves, but helping oodles of other people. Lord, help us to have a desire and a purpose to live for you. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we're just meditating right now as the music plays, and we're just thinking about old Ezra. He didn't like having a heart that was just flickering and about to go out. He wanted his heart to be fired up. And if you need to pray and ask God to fire your heart up again, why don't you just come and do it right now? We call this prayer meeting night. This would be a good thing to pray about. How about asking God to fire up your heart? Sweeping this way, Lord, sweeping this right way. A mighty revival is sweeping this way. When God's people want their hearts to be fired up about the things of God, it is likely that a mighty revival will indeed be sweeping this way. An importance on the Word. Did you used to read the Bible? Did you used to enjoy hearing the Bible taught in a class? Did you at one time think about being maybe in Faith Bible Institute or some online course? Did you used to think about reading a certain amount of Bible every day just to keep your heart in tune, keep you going in the right direction, but somehow it's just kind of faded? Do you have a purpose in life? I mean, is your purpose focused only on you? Or are you like Ezra and you say, man, I want to do something to help my fellow countrymen, my fellow church members, others in my family and among my friends?